listening to The Sports Machine with Slim. New Hampshire's next generation sports talk radio show. And I've got a question for you. I think it's going to be the theme of the day. Did that really happen? Four words. Did that really happen? In the world of sports last night, we got a ton of different things that I could talk about relative to that question. But seeing as though today is Good Friday, I will ask the same question. Did that really happen? And I'm just going to do this for a minute or so, but you know, in the religious world, Good Friday is the day when Jesus Christ was tortured and ultimately hung on a cross and left to die. And people in the Christian world, Catholics, I was raised Catholic, believe that Easter Sunday, which is coming up here in a couple days, Easter Sunday is the day when that human being who was put on a cross and killed in front of everybody was somehow magically able to come back to life and appear to everyone, to his followers who believed in him anyway, just a couple days later. That is what Easter. Easter is not about the Easter egg hunts or all the candy that we go and buy at the store and stuff like that. It's supposed to be celebrating the creator of all life here on earth and the sign showing that, you know, there is life after death. So I just wanted to start the show out with putting that out into the airwaves and remind people there's a large portion of the population that 100% believes in that story and dedicates their entire life to the belief in that story, actually. And there's a growing segment of the population in this world who you believe it's just not all made up and never happened. But I would just ask you, if that did in fact happen, and Jesus Christ, you know, was killed by people, for what reason? Just being a good person? I mean, you read all the stories. I don't really hear any bad stories about Jesus in his life for however many, you know, 2,000 change years ago it was. I don't hear many stories about him doing bad things. So you'd like to think that's somebody that we all might want to be more of a, you know, a role model in our own lives. So I just encourage people to keep the faith. No matter, for me, to take that into real life, modern day stuff, it's like, hey, listen, there's a lot of bad stuff happening out there, but things can always turn around. Stay hopeful and believe in yourself and do what you can do and let the cards fall where they may. Did that really happen? Did North Carolina lose last night? Was that just a bad dream? Did the North Carolina Tar Heels really lose that game? I felt so great last night. I went out with Mitty and a couple of other folks who had some great input on the show. They absolutely loved the show. One of the guys turns to me and goes, yeah, I listened to it. What I was really amazed by was that there's really no pauses. And I just immediately started talking like I do. Yeah, I don't need any pauses. I can talk about anything. What do you want me to talk about? Especially in the world of sports. And today we got a ton of things. Segment three, we're going to have Bruins caller Sully. Thomas Polk maybe has a day off today, but Sully's going to join us for the second time. I really liked what he did last week, so I'm curious to hear what he's going to say in segment three today. We got to talk about the Celtics. What? Somebody said this. I think it was Mitty last night, actually, and I wrote it down. And I'm going to use this line. I don't think the Celtics are going to win anymore. Like, I don't think the Celtics are going to win the title this year. I hope the Celtics are going to win the title this year. I'm changing the word think to hope. I'm done thinking with the Boston Celtics, but let's just save that in a little bottle here until segment number two. Let's kick this show off with college basketball and how great I was feeling at the beginning of last night, because if you listen to the show yesterday, the first 5 minutes was me telling you people how Clemson was going to probably beat Arizona. I mean, and they were plus 250 on the money line. It was Clemson pretty much dominated the game from beginning to end. And lo and behold, the stat line for Caleb Love, who over the last couple of months I've been telling people, this guy is just not the guy. And there's a reason why North Carolina last year didn't even make the tournament, and now coming into this year, here they're a number one seed in the tournament. I look at the box score, Caleb Love, because my attention was a bit distracted last night. I kept an eye the whole game on the score, and Clemson ends up winning 77-72. Nice call by me. Rock solid yesterday. Caleb Love, not so rock solid. 5 for 18 from the field, 0 for 9 from 3. 0 for 9 from 3. And I will say the unmitigated gall of a basketball player to, in an elimination game, be 0 for 8 and then decide, I'm going to shoot again and become 0 for 9. That's not a person you want on your team. In Arizona, yeah, you found out the hard way, baby. You're going home. You're going home. And not for nothing, I could have told you a year ago you didn't want the guy on your team. And North Carolina could have told you to. Unfortunately, it was not enough. The removal of Caleb Love from the North Carolina Tar Heels was not enough. And I'm not saying anything bad from a personal standpoint on Caleb Love. He might be an incredible guy. Good luck to you, dude. I wish nothing but good things for you in life. But if you're on my basketball team and you're 0 for 8 from 3, don't shoot the ninth one. Pass me the ball. I'll take the next shot, dude. You're all set. You had 8 chances. But some people just think, hey, I deserve the ball. I deserve the chance. Jason Tatum, because I'm coming for you next, dude. We're going to wait a few minutes, and I'm going to keep that in the bottle. But I'm coming for Jason Tatum next. My North Carolina Tar Heels go down in a great game to Alabama. I will ask the question, like, are we going to let Alabama come in and now start to dominate basketball the way that they've dominated football forever? The SEC is obviously getting better, everybody. We talked the other week about how, you know, it used to be Kentucky would be the team coming in. Kentucky won a title or two, and everybody else in the SEC stunk. Well, now with the NIL money and the facilities and everything that's already built up there within these big schools, big money schools like Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, they got a ton of cash, ton of program pizzazz and stuff over there, ton of kids wanting to go to those schools. Well, now some of the basketball players want to go there, and this Coach Oates, obviously from Alabama, I didn't love him from last year because the Brandon Miller guy, who I think is an incredible talent and is playing his tail off for Charlotte in the NBA right now, and he's going to probably turn them around because that dude is nasty, but they went out early last year in the tournament, even though we had Brandon Miller. So, well, this coach, maybe he just can't get it done. Well, he got it done last night, and cost me a fair chunk of change, honestly. North Carolina, hey, good run. RJ Davis picked a bad day, as my brother Dave sent me in a text, picked a bad day to play the worst game of his career. I don't even want to look at the stat line. I will say, at the end of the first half, he fell on his left elbow, and it obviously was bothering him as he was walking into halftime. Well, listen, in the second half, he came out, and he still was jacking threes. I saw him miss 3 or 4 of them at least, and that's the same type of mentality that I was just kind of lambasting Caleb Love for. So RJ Davis, like, I think you are a hardcore winner, dude. But when you keep missing those threes, at some point, you need to stop. And guess what? He did. And so I will say I have a little bit of a problem with Hubert Davis, who I like Hubert Davis, okay? But if you watch the end of this game, North Carolina-Alabama, it was close in the second half, all the way back and forth pretty much. But at the end, eventually here, last 5 minutes or so, RJ Davis decides, I'm going to the hoop. And it was 3 or 4 possessions in a row in the last couple of minutes where he's getting to the rack. Either he kind of finished on one, a little floater, but he got fouled 2 or 3 times and went to the line, and that dude's free throw stroke is money. If you just watch it, it's the same thing. It's such a great release. RJ Davis from the free throw line is nutso. Well, he had everything going for him. He's going to the rack each time he's getting fouled. Well, with 40 seconds left, they do a little pick and roll action, and they pop this guy Withers out to the top. RJ Davis passed him back the ball. This guy Withers hadn't done jack in the last 5 minutes of the game. All of a sudden now he's shooting up a 3. And then you wonder why you lose, dude. Hubert Davis, you can't do that. You need to stay with the same play. RJ Davis was making it happen. Why would you deviate from that play in the most important time of the game? Coaching matters. The sports machine with Slim just getting started. Jason Tatum, I haven't forgotten about you. You're up next. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester is where you can hear us. You can find us online, nhtalkradio.com. Did that really happen? Pistol. If you're listening right now, I want you to call the show, Pistol. Now's a good time for you. I'm sorry I didn't text you back. I need some help lambasting the Celtics and Jason Tatum. That I just beside myself. Did we really watch that? Did that happen last night? Did we lose to Atlanta two times in a row? And just the worst part of it. I mean, the ingenious, really the genius of myself. Again, I'll pat myself on the back again, as I've done a couple of times this week. Really, that Jason Tatum countdown clock, the game winner or game tire countdown clock that we instituted back in December. What an ingenious idea by me. I wish we had solid marketing online and stuff to really do something crazy good about that, because that's a real thing. And I'm hoping the Pistol wants to help me tear down Jason Tatum a little bit. Is that you out there, Pistol?
How's it going, Slim? Did that really happen? Atlanta Hawks back-to-back over the Celts? Are you kidding me?
Listen to the joy in this man's voice. He's been on this show for the past month or two presenting himself as like a Celtics fan, kind of. And now he's like, he's so ready to throw it in my face that they lose two in a row.
I mean, how do you let DeJounte Murray go for 44 points? The guy looked like a complete stud out there, and I think the Hawks are actually better without Trae Young.
Oh, no doubt about it. Trae Young, I said when the draft happened, I said I would never take that guy ever. He's such a defensive liability, and he's another guy like Caleb Love who thinks, like, people are here to watch me shoot three-pointers. I'm just going to shoot. I deserve to be able to shoot because people have been telling me I'm so great all my life.
That's why a guy like DeJounte Murray takes the ball to the hoop. He can hit the mid-range shots, and he was hitting on all cylinders yesterday. Celtics had no answer. That's the problem. How do you, like, who can defensively step up for the Celtics? I think we all thought Drew Holiday could do it, but didn't look good yesterday.
Great lead in, Pistol. So here we go, because we're fast-forwarding right by some of the fluff, right to the end critique that I have on that team. I will say as a side note, DeJounte Murray did shoot 44 shots last night, so he had the 44 points, but he was 18 for 44. So on some level, he was kind of stopping himself. But let me just ask you this from a coaching standpoint, because I've said it before here. If the Celtics do not win the title this year, it's because of the coach. And I'm not saying that I don't like Joe Mazzulla. I'm just challenging him. If we do not win, Joe, this year, it's your fault. And here's what I'm going to tell you, the mistake you made last night, okay? End of regulation, pathetic last game call play with Jason Tatum. Can't get it done again. Let's just go to the end of overtime, Pistol. I want to hear what you think about this. Jaylen Brown nails a shot. When the play wasn't drawn for him, it was drawn for Porzingis. He passes
to Brown.
Let me finish this first. Jaylen Brown nails the shot, which we've been waiting for all year. Somebody finally makes a game-winning shot. Incredible. You come out of the timeout. The Hawks have the ball down by one. DeJounte Murray, who has shot the ball 43 times in the game, been on fire, right? Why, if Jaylen Brown is our quote-unquote best defender, and he's on top of the moon because he just made the shot, why wouldn't you task Jaylen Brown with guarding DeJounte Murray in that moment because you knew he was going to get the ball and Brown was feeling great about himself? Let him guard that man. Why wouldn't you do that from a coaching standpoint?
Yeah, I am right with you with the coaching problem. We have a massive coaching problem in Boston. And that play that was drawn up where Jaylen Brown bailed out the team, what was that play?
What was it?
It was absolutely terrible. And we saw the same thing in the previous Hawks game, right? We saw just Jaylen Brown going like, oh my God, I'm going to have to bail out the team again. So we have a massive problem drawing up these final plays. And I agree. Like, I like Jaylen Brown's size on a guy that's smaller for that final shot. And I don't know what Mazzulla's doing.
He's not able to read the game. And I just went screaming into the last commercial break talking about Hubert Davis. You can't put the fate of your entire team into the hands of a guy shooting a three who hasn't been involved in the offense for the last 5 minutes. Like, he's and RJ Davis was unstoppable at that point going to the hoop. You needed to say, he's going to the hoop again. You're not reading the game, Hubert Davis. Well, Joe Mazzulla, I think, has no ability whatsoever to read a game. And I would tell him if he was in the interview seat across from me, I'd be like, dude, why do you think we lost the last two games? Because I think it's your fault.
You know, you're tearing UNC, but the one thing I want to say about Alabama is I love their point guard. Their senior point guard, Mark Spears, is a stud. He won the game against Grand Canyon for them.
Yep.
And I thought last night he did a great job. I mean, he nails threes, and he just distributes the ball really well, low turnovers. Like, that guy's a really good player.
Alabama's dangerous, man. They got a style. They know how to play it, and it works. So, I mean, yeah, they beat North Carolina. I could sit here all day and say, because I was wrong on my North Carolina take. They were my pick to win it all. Hey, I was wrong. Alabama's a good team. I just wish RJ Davis had made a couple of those threes, because the outcome probably would have been different, because they only lost by 2 points.
Yeah, I was on fire yesterday, Slim. I got all my picks right yesterday.
No, you
so
didn't.
It's all green on DraftKings today.
Well, let's see. Well, here's the guy. I'm sure they're shaking in their boots knowing the pistol's coming for them. So let's talk about some action today. Enlighten me as to what's going to happen, if you would, with today's games. Who do you think, Purdue-Gonzaga?
So I am going all in on an upset day.
Here we go.
I love NC State, and I can't bet against them. They're my favorite team to root for. I love the big boy Burns and Diarra. That team's going to be awesome. I think Purdue is going to slump today. I just have not been a fan of them all season, so I'm jumping on Gonzaga, who seems really hot right now. And then
I
kind of feel the same way about Houston. I think they're not a great one seed. I picked Duke out of that bracket, so I'm just going to stick with who I picked from the beginning. And then I don't want to root against the Big East in the last game, so I'm going Creighton.
Creighton gets my vote.
How does that match up with your pick, Slim?
I love the Creighton. I just think last year they maybe should have made the Final Four, and I just think it's like a rallying cry in the locker room. So I just feel Creighton's going to beat Tennessee. That's just a gut check feel. I don't necessarily know that they're a tougher team or anything like that. With Purdue-Gonzaga, I think Gonzaga is going to get exposed. I think they played the game of their life last time out, and we'll see if I'm right on that. I think Purdue's just going to be steady, and they got, you know, they got motivation inside that locker room as well. I'm with you on NC State. Love that team. Love everything about them. Can't root against them. Houston-Duke, I just think Duke's not that tough, Pistol. I think Houston is tough. So, I mean, let's roll from there. I'm going to take Houston.
Yeah, Houston's definitely tough. That's the one thing. And athletic. They're big. They're tough. I think Duke is going to have to rely on like their leadership at guard and like the big man. The big man is going to have to play good. And we'll see if he can against Houston, because Houston definitely has some athletes.
Yeah, Filipowski's bigger than anybody Houston's got. And I will say Jeremy Roach at the point guard position for Duke, he was a monster in last year's tournament. And he just has kind of disappeared this year. They haven't used him on the offensive end as much. But you're right. If Duke's going to win that game tonight, I'm going to tell you, he's the toughest guy on that team. So Roach will have a big game if Duke is going to win. So you might want to work in that same game parlay action right there.
There you go.
Yeah, I was 2-2 last night, so nobody's really listening to me. UConn, my brother Dave on the show yesterday was all over, and I was like, no, San Diego State's going to play them tough. Lede is a monster and strong, and Lede had a decent game, but they just got just curb stomped.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to see a close game with UConn? I'm starting to wonder if they're just going to blow through this tournament without even like having a game within 10 points.
Dave said last year, Pistol, Dave said last year they covered every game, so that was 6 games. Now 3 games here they've covered. They've 9 in a row. They're on a roll, man.
Yeah, let's face it. The obvious thing to do is if they're single digits or below for the spread, you bet UConn.
It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what their digit is. It's 9 games in a row. But what I saw last night from Illinois. Iowa State definitely competes, but this Terrence Shannon guy for Illinois, he's legit. They have a chance. I think they could beat UConn, and I think they could go all the way. I really do.
Hey, what do you think of the chef in Clemson?
I think that Clemson is just a solid team. I was all over them yesterday to start the show. 5 minutes worth of talking, saying they were going to beat Arizona.
Yeah, and they really slow it up too when they play. But their style, like their big men, pass really, really well. So they're definitely a well-rounded team.
Exactly. Smart play. Yep, they know how to utilize their strengths and assets. And I mean, this is the theme as we kind of wrap up this segment, Pistol, is like you got to have a coach who at the end of the game understands where we're going to go from a play call perspective. And it's just like our coaching, nobody's going to be blaming Hubert Davis for the loss today. And maybe nobody's going to blame Joe Mazzulla for the loss last night, except me. The coaching matters.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday Clemson had some great inbounds plays. I think they might have scored 10 points just on inbound plays, and they were wide open on some of those plays.
You got it. See, like that right there. So like, the coach, you're working, and nobody talks about this in basketball. Is when you practice something during the week and you got to play, and then you run it in the game and it works, it makes your players have so much more confidence in everything else the coach says.
Yeah, and I thought Clemson did a great job of that yesterday. They looked like they really knew what they were doing against that defense. So, and that's impressive because, Arizona's no joke.
No, and I'll tell you what, they're going to need to know what they're doing to beat that Alabama team coming up tomorrow. Thank you very much for the time, Pistol. We're going to go to a commercial here, come back with Sully to talk some Bruins stuff and how awesome this Bruins team is to root for. WKXL Radio, you're listening to The Sports Machine with Slim, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, talkradio.com. Did that really happen? I can't believe UNC lost. I still... So disappointing. It would have been so much more fun if North Carolina was still in the tournament today. It would have been more fun for me, definitely. Who's ready to put their Bruins hat on? I know I am. My hand is raised. And I know we got somebody on the line. Sully is, I'm sure, ready to talk some Bruins, too. How you doing on this Friday, Sully?
What's going on, Slim? How are you? I got the entire weekend off from work. I'm very excited about that. And I got nothing but time.
Nice. Good for you. The world is your oyster. So let's use a little bit of that time on the NHL. I know you know your Bruins stuff, and anybody that listens to the show here, you heard Sully on the show last week, and he's got his own podcast, and I'd love for you to be able to talk about that stuff as well, Sully. But do you follow the entire NHL, like last night's games? The Bruins didn't play last night. Are you watching the outcomes of the other games? Are you that into the NHL?
Oh, absolutely. I have, you know, the entire ESPN Plus package. I got games on multiple screens, especially, you know, at this time of year. A lot of these games are big, big-time games, and the implications on some of them directly affect the Bruins. Like, who are we going to be playing in the first round? Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be Detroit? Maybe even Toronto. Toronto might be slipping back into a wild card spot. So all eyes have been on the NHL for me.
All year long, are you watching? You have multiple TV screens in your home that you're watching multiple NHL games every single night?
Oh, yeah. I got my laptop going. I got my monitor. I got my TV. Multiple games 24/7 all the time.
People out there in the listening audience, am I doing my work over here or what? Look at this dude that I have enlisted into the show. This dude is a hardcore NHL guy. Like, I'm a hardcore basketball guy, Sully, but I don't have multiple TV screens every night. I appreciate what you're doing. Tell us, what happened in this Rangers-Avalanche game last night? The Rangers had beaten Florida in overtime last week in a huge game, and they go out and what? In a shootout, they also take out the Avalanche last night.
Yeah, I mean, that Rangers-Avalanche game, I mean, talk about two powerhouses, obviously the Avalanche in the West and the Rangers in the East. And it's so fitting that that game went to overtime. I mean, if those two teams could match up in the Stanley Cup final in the end, oh my God,
no,
what a final.
No. Bruins, Sully. Bruins. Where are you going? I thought you were a hardcore Bruins guy. Now you want to see the Rangers. I heard it in your voice. You can't take it back. You sounded like legitimately excited, like you wanted to have five TVs on with the same game with the Avalanche against the Rangers in the finals. What happened to my Bruins?
Well, the thing is, the Bruins and the Rangers right now are only separated by, I believe it's after last night's game, they're only separated by 3 points. So we are looking at two powerhouses in the East. And like we were talking about last week, too, the Bruins, when you think about them, a lot of the general consensus around the team is that, oh, this team kind of got lucky with the beginning stretch of the season. They don't have the tools to really go on a deep run. But I mean, we've seen the Bruins and Rangers play a couple of really, really heavy games. The Rangers have taken it to the Bruins a little bit, but the Bruins stay in there. It's going to be a really hard-fought battle, and the seeding is going to be really, really, really important.
That's the thing, Sully, and that's where, as time goes along here over the upcoming days and weeks, you'll be able to educate, I think, a lot of people here. The matchup, if we get to play the Rangers, could potentially be after, like, both teams go through multiple, like, six-game series. And it's a war of attrition. So the teams, if they played tonight, does not mean it's going to be anywhere close to when they played 6 weeks from now, because you might have injuries, you got tired, you got different mindsets. So much can go on between now and then.
Right. And the thing is, too, that I love about this Bruins team, and I know it's kind of a controversial topic, but the goalie rotation. You see with the Rangers, obviously they have Jonathan Quick as their backup. They have Igor Shesterkin as their full-time guy. But with the Bruins, you have Allmark and Swayman basically splitting the time 50-50, and the workload that Swayman and Allmark have been kind of, you know, bouncing back and forth with, they're both going to be well-rested heading into the playoffs. I mean, you see a guy like Igor Shesterkin getting 50-plus starts already, and then you're expecting him to go on, like you just said, these six, seven-game series deep into playoffs where every single game there's so much emotion, there's so much drama, every single second of every single game matters so much. It takes a mental toll as well. But the Bruins' advantage in that sense is that they can sit Allmark one game, play Swayman, and then the next night come back with Allmark and then sit Swayman. So the war of attrition, like you just said, benefits the Bruins, because especially in the goaltending sense, because you're going back and forth every night, and not even to mention the depth of the Bruins lineup. Sure, we might not have, outside of, you know, David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy, we don't have bona fide superstars, but what we do have is depth. And when you have depth heading into the playoffs, that, as you often see, leads to success. And you've seen guys like Denison Heinen all season long contributing. Morgan
Zaka
all season long contributing. Yes. Pavel Zaka, who is just blossoming into a true number one center in front of our very eyes. And mind you, he's still young as well. So Pavel Zaka is a giant, giant X factor heading into the playoffs for the Bruins.
You're so excited. I can hear the energy in your voice. It's great. You sound like a kid, like opening presents or something all of a sudden. I will tell you something, and you can use this on your podcast if you wish, or you can laugh at me. You mentioned earlier, like, the mental side of things with the war of attrition and the two goalies. What I'm going to tell you is, my man, and this is why other teams maybe have never tried to do the every other night thing in the playoffs with, or every other game with the goalies, is when you have one guy, he wants to be the guy. If he's not in net, he's ticked off. With these two dudes, they, like, literally, they have love for each other. Like, these guys really care about each other. I don't think there's any negative mindset at all going through the guy who's on the bench tonight. I think he's actively rooting for his brother out there to have success. And we have two goalies who both have the ability to win us games. We've seen it. Like, to win playoff games, they can do it. They have the ability. It's just a matter of, will they? The likelihood that they play great in the playoffs, Sully, I'm telling you, is heightened because they're rooting for each other and not for themselves.
Yeah. No, 100%. And it's been said, like we kind of talked about in the beginning, I'm a hockey nut. So I dive into as much NHL content as I can, and especially when it revolves around the Bruins. And I believe it was a show called What Chaos. They had Linus Ullmark as a guest, and they brought up the same question. And there is competition for sure, but they're actively rooting for one another to do well. And you can see that night in and night out. Obviously, when they win, they have the goalie hug.
It's awesome.
Jeremy Simon often talks about how Linus Ullmark and his family constantly has him over for dinners and vice versa. And
they call him Uncle Sway. I'm pretty sure when Swayman comes over, Ullmark's kids call him Uncle Sway.
Yeah, he's Uncle Sway. And you kind of saw, too, after the trade deadline, how broken up Ullmark was, that his name was being thrown around. He did have to nix the trade to an unnamed Western Conference team.
Kings.
Although I do have in pretty good authority that it was L.A. But these guys want to see each other win. They want to win a Stanley Cup together. They don't want to do it separate. Sure, one of them would, I'm sure, relish the opportunity to be a number one goalie, but in this system and in this team, they root for one another.
Go play your best, because if we're going seven games with a team, Sully, like, we can do every other game, but listen, whoever's the hotter through the first six games, who's ever played better, like, you're going to be in net for game seven. That's just the way that it is. So if it's me and you going back and forth, dude, if it's game one, right, and I lose, I know you're coming in game two. Sully, go get him. Go get him, because I want it to be 1-1 when I get my chance again. And it's a push-pull thing. Like, it's karma. I just think there's something bigger, and I praise Montgomery, and I really hope. He said he made a mistake last year by getting away from it. I really hope he sticks to it, because it's just a bigger thing for the team morale. And if it works, they're all going to be like, dude, let's go!
Yeah. No, exactly. And you saw, kind of going back to last playoff run, too, we all know how that ended and how devastating it was, losing Bergeron, losing Krejci. And obviously, those two guys are the backbone of your team. And Bergeron especially was the DNA and the identity of the Bruins. But now I think it's shifted more towards these two guys. The team feeds off of the goalies, because the energy that they bring around the locker room, just being with one another, and the rest of the team feeding off of that, kind of family-type atmosphere, is nothing but beneficial.
It's a great story, Sully, too. It's just, to be a fan of the Bruins, to be talking about this, like, oh, you mean these guys actually, like, really like each other and are rooting for each other? That's something, as human beings, we all want to be rooting for, a story where guys are, like, grouping together, pulling each other forward.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't want to be in an atmosphere where you have two goalies who, like, imagine a situation where they hate each other and they're trying to steal that job from one another. That's not going to bring a good energy around the locker room. And what we have is the complete opposite. And we've seen that for the past two or three seasons now. And Jeremy Swayman is only getting better. And I credit a lot of that to his relationship with Linus Ullmark. Now, if we're talking about game one starter, this is when it gets interesting, because Jeremy Swayman hasn't had a good month of March, but the benefits of the tandem and the way that it works is that Linus Ullmark is lights out. And so now it's going to be up to Jim Montgomery and,
exactly,
and the rest of the staff to really pick a game one starter.
I don't even care.
Go from there.
I don't even care, Sully, as we can hear the music start to play for the commercial. I mean, if it was tonight, I'd say Swayman, but I don't care if it's Ullmark. Who would you say if it was tonight?
Tonight, I would still roll Swayman.
There we go. Swayman, you got the start. Go get him. Ullmark, you're getting game two. Sully, thanks for calling the show. Nice work, my man.
Absolutely.
We're coming back. Did that really happen? Did the Red Sox play last night? This is WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it in the right spot. NHTalkRadio.com. Did that really happen? Good Friday, everybody. Happy Easter weekend. I hope you enjoy the college basketball action tonight. Plenty of games to keep you entertained. I still Don't know if we should talk any Red Sox. My brother Dave, I think, is on the phone line right now. My brother Dave, did you watch the Red Sox beat the Seattle Mariners last night? I believe the score was 6-4.
I actually did watch a little bit. It is opening day, and until I've watched them enough to know how terrible they're going to be, I'll hold out hope that they'll give us something to watch this summer.
I love me some Rafael Devers. I have for the last few years. He just got a sweet swing and a cool personality. I like his demeanor and everything, and he had a homer last night. I think he had 5 or 6 in the preseason, too, so if people ain't paying attention, like, Rafael Devers, I hope he has a big year. Maybe he can win the MVP or something and just, like, overachieve expectations for the team.
Yeah, I mean, I will say he was my second pick. My fantasy league, I probably reached for him a little bit, but I do expect him to have a really good year. I think he settled in after signing that big contract. And if they want to try bringing people in, you know, that's where you need your leadership to really step up, be vocal, and kind of be good at what they do. So I expect him to have a real good year.
Right on. Me too. I wish you the very best of luck in your fantasy league. What did you think about our caller there? Did you just hear Sully about the Bruins and the fact that he watches NHL games every night on multiple TVs? That's hardcore stuff.
Yeah, that's dedication. I mean, some people might call him an addict.
A psycho. Psychopath, actually. I might call him a psychopath. Sully, I'm just kidding.
I was trying to be nicer. I was like, wow, this guy's got a real problem.
Yeah, I go right for the throat. Verbally here, I will hammer people, but and no, that guy, I found him online, and he found me online, and it's like, hey, maybe we connected for a reason. I'm like, hey, I'll try and help him promote his stuff because he's got a cool podcast out there, and he knows his stuff. He sounds great. I did not like when he was so enthralled by the New York Rangers Colorado Avalanche game last night. He's like, I can't wait if these two teams played in the Stanley Cup. Like, wait a second, dude, I want the Bruins to go. I'm not going to be excited to watch the Rangers play.
Well, somebody who's watching 3 games a night is a purist, right? Yeah, so he's going to know the game. Yeah. He watches that game, and he's like, boy, this is next level. This is high-intensity hockey. That is fun. Playoff hockey is unlike any other sport. Probably the best playoff there is in any other major sport.
After he hung up the phone, we texted a little bit, and I was like, yeah, you're going to be awesome to have on the show here during the playoffs. He goes, oh, yeah, that's when you're really going to get fiery, Sully. So that's cool. It would be awesome if we could get him on the show and be, like, super mad because the team lost and ain't playing well, and then you get Thomas Polk the next segment. And I was like, yeah, things going to be fine, 100%. It's going to be A-okay.
He'll be bringing the heat like you are with Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics after that defeat last night.
It was really pathetic. No, I mean, I'm 100% right. That's the only thing. It's just like, dude, how many times do we need to say at the end of game situations for this team, we stink out loud?
Well, it's more than that. Now you have almost 2 years of data for him, and I think the biggest factor that nobody has mentioned anywhere, but it's hard to ignore, is Ime Udoka over in Houston has that team winning 10 in a row on the cusp of a playoff spot. He had the Celtics playing the best defense they ever did. He had them engaged. He brought them to a finals. And you just see the difference. You see what he's doing with Houston versus what Mazzulla is getting with this Celtics squad. It's hard to ignore that the coach really does make a significant difference.
I will, on top of that, say, Dave, he really started the train of like having Jason Tatum complain less. It was terrible. Tatum would complain all the time when Brad Stevens was the coach. Ime comes in for the 1 year. All of a sudden, I notice, oh, Tatum's complaining a little less. I did think he complained less last year. Now this year, he's a pathetic muddle. Puddle. I just combined it into a muddle. Jason Tatum is a muddle when it comes to the refereeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the superstars in the NBA are. But, I mean, we'll see what happens in the postseason. I think that's where it matters. You just got to play physically. You got to, you know, work your way through it. So it's one thing to complain in the regular season, another if you're doing it in the postseason. That's when the games are really going to ramp up, ratchet up, and intensity is going to matter. So we'll see if he's able to not complain in the playoffs.
Well, what did you think about my opening today? I said that with the Celtics, I said, I don't think the Celtics are going to win anymore. I hope the Celtics are going to win. I'm done thinking they're going to win. I'm just going to watch the games, enjoy, and hope that they win, because they've just let me down too many times now. This last night, like, come on, dude, that end of game in regulation with Jason Tatum getting the ball, that backcourt play, like, what have we ever gotten out of it that it's great? One time, I think, at the end of a half, Tatum scored. It's like, that shot was awful.
Yeah, it was poorly executed, poor planning. I think they were hoping for a foul call. I mean, before that, the Celtics were going to have to turn the ball back over to Atlanta. They kind of got bailed out a little bit because I didn't like their offensive set when Atlanta followed them with, I think it was 7 seconds. Yeah, so like the whole thing lacked execution at the end, and that goes right back to the coach.
And it shows that nobody in the organization over there is listening to the sports machine with Slim each day, as they should be, because for the last 2 weeks, me and you have been on the air saying Jaylen Brown should be the guy shooting the ball at the end of games. And guess what? Lo and behold, Tatum is the end of regulation. Pathetic, weak shot. We go to overtime. And the play, even at the end of overtime, David, is drawn up for Kristaps Porzingis. It's like, what are you doing? He gets stone cold stop, doesn't know what to do. He throws a lucky pass over to Brown. Brown's like, okay, I'm going to shoot it. Rises up. What does he do? He drains the shot. Jaylen Brown's the guy who should be taking the shots at the end of the games. I'm sorry.
I do agree with that right now. He's stronger getting to the rim. He wants it more. You know, in an isolation type scenario, I think Jaylen Brown's probably your best player. I don't think he's your best player in terms of, hey, I'm going to build an offense, I'm going to work a full game around him. But I do think in terms of an isolation set, if I got to give the ball to one guy right now, it's Jaylen Brown.
When Jaylen Brown rises up into the air last night, Dave, you know what his thought is? I'm looking to make the shot. And if we rewind, I don't remember the game it was, but it was about a month and a half, and Jason Tatum, in a similar situation, rose up in the air and kicked his leg out, trying to make contact, and then complained that he didn't get a foul call. That's the difference. Jaylen Brown is rising into the air, shooting, thinking, I'm going to make this shot. Jason Tatum goes, I'll try and draw some contact so I get fouled.
Yeah, I mean, a mentality, right? Like, just, I want it. I'm going to go get it. I'm not going to complain about the refs. If they don't give me a call, I'm just going to, you know, run back down the court and play defense. And the superstars in this league, they don't do it. You can watch every one of them every night. I mean, whether it's Jokic, whether it's Giannis, whether it's Kawhi, it doesn't matter who it is. Luka Doncic is the worst.
He's
the biggest whiner of any of them in the NBA. But if you watch that league has changed. I mean, it's different now. The league has just morphed into this crybaby mentality. And they've learned, if I cry enough, I'm going to get calls. I hate it. I let them tackle each other out there as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and that's why, Dave, like last night, I didn't even care to watch the Celtics. Honestly, the plays I'm talking about, I didn't even see them live. I didn't see them till this morning. I watched on the replay that was on before I left to come here. So I didn't really care about that game because it doesn't mean anything. The college basketball is so much more entertaining. You were pretty hot yesterday, dude. You did agree with me. You like Clemson. You said UConn was going to smack down San Diego State. I think we both were in on Illinois. Unfortunately, Carolina just stubbed their toe when they get eliminated against a good Alabama team.
Unfortunately, RJ Davis 0-for-9 from 3, 4-for-20 from the floor. You know, when your leading scorer has a night like that, and they weren't, I mean, some of them were harder threes. He had plenty of wide open threes last night. He just missed. You know, and he has it. I bet you I could go through all 33 of their games, and he made a three in at least every game. He's a 40% 3-point shooter. He just picked the wrong day. You know, sometimes it happens, right? Like, I don't know if he's sick. I don't know what happened. Like, but for some reason, he was off last night. And in a one game scenario, the final stats. Carolina 30-for-77 from the floor. Alabama was 32-for-67. North Carolina dominated the game. They were up from beginning to really the end. Alabama, you know, somehow just found a way at the end to bring Nelson. Nelson scored on 4 or 5 plays for them and just kind of sealed the deal, and RJ Davis just couldn't get it done.
Yep, UNC was up 54-46 at halftime, so they were up 8 points, 54 points in the first half. The game finishes 89-87. So it just slowed down. Obviously, Alabama's speed and conditioning is a weapon, Dave. So we'll see how that plays out for them moving forward against the Clemson team. What do you think about today's and tonight's games, or whatever else you might want to talk about, as we only got a couple minutes left today?
I think college basketball is where it's at. They play so hard. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, like last night, you just watched those games, like case in point, right? Like anything can happen in these games. I think they're ultra just so fun, ultra fun to watch. So tonight, big game again. Like, I think Creighton, Tennessee is going to be a really, really fun game. Two really tight, kind of matchup dependent teams. And I think they get it in that game. I think that's going to be a really fun game. And Marquette is the one game I love tonight. I love hearing Pistol tell me how much he's in on NC State. That just kind of confirms for me that I have the right read on that game.
I'm with you, Pistol. I love me some NC State, too. I just love the vibe and the camaraderie in the locker room, Dave. And I know they have the talent to be able to win, but I like Marquette, too. So tonight's game is a coin flip as far as who I actually think will win.
Yeah, I like Marquette. I just think it's a good matchup for them. But what I will say is UConn's path got significantly easier because now, assuming they beat Illinois, now they're playing in Alabama for a Clemson team that really they're just better than. It's unfortunate. I thought UConn was going to have to run a little bit of a gauntlet, maybe in Illinois, a North Carolina, and, you know, a Purdue or a Houston or even a Marquette. Like, now their path just got significantly easier. It's really disappointing that North Carolina lost that game last night.
That's the way to end it. Did that really happen, Dave? Yes, it did, unfortunately. And unfortunately, our time for this week has come to an end. The Sports Machine with Slim continues on next week on Monday between 10 and 11. You're listening on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Thanks so much. Have a great Easter weekend. NHTalkRadio.com.